Then what happens to you after graduation?
Well, I had wonderful mentors. They were professors at Missouri. For surgery, I had Dr. Hugh Stevenson, who just died last October at age 93, one of the first heart surgeons in America. We played flag football every Sunday afternoon at Hickman High School in Columbia, Missouri. That's where Sam Walton graduated from high school from. Mm. And also a guy named C. Thorpe Ray, who was like Uncle Remus. He was a professor of medicine. I told him I wanted to be a heart doctor like him because he was a big internist from New Orleans. 3 foot Birch and Ray wrote the original books on cardiology. He has bald, he'd rub the top of his head, and oh boy, like an Uncle Remus guy. He took me aside one day and said, boy, you're too good to hang around here. You got to get out. You got to get out and see what sick is. He says, I'm going to call a guy down in Dallas, Texas, and set you up for an internship down there. So he called Dr. Don Selden, who was like talking to God of internal medicine. And he said, he'd take this Gustafson boy and send him down for an interview. And that's how I went down there to be an internist. That's 1961. I did a rotating internship. So they put me on surgery.
What hospital is this?
Parkland Memorial Hospital, which is run by the Dallas County Hospital District. It's tax supported. It's like the Levy or the libraries or whatever, but Dallas County supports the hospital. I went there, and poor Julie, she had a miscarriage the first day I was supposed to be at the intern meetings. So I was with her over at Baylor Hospital. I didn't know anybody at Parkland to take her to, so I called some friends in Dallas. They said, go to Baylor, so we go there. So I missed the meeting, so my first assignment at Parkland was on psychiatry. So in July of 1961, I was the Dallas County psychiatrist in the emergency room, and I saw people that were just incredible. One story was they brought a guy in off a city bus. The police had jumped him, and he was on there, and he had a gun, and he was pointing at people. He had bullets that he painted with aluminum sprays to make them look silver. They brought him in and said, well, you got to talk to this man. And so I didn't talk to him. He had spray-painted bullets, and that was about all I knew. He's nuts. So I called my resident down, and he said, you don't know anything about mythology. What was the Lone Ranger's gun? What kind of bullets did he shoot? I said, well, he had silver bullets. Don't you know that you kill evil with silver swords and silver bullets? I didn't know that from Adam, you know. So it was a learning experience. I didn't learn anything about Thorazine. I learned all about mythology. So then after that, they stuck me on surgery. I did an anesthesia rotation in August. Then they put me on surgery in September and October. They gave us all a book. They gave us 2 books, a pink book and a gray book. And it was the rules of Parkland. Boy, you do exactly what's in this book. And you don't do this and you do this. So this guy came in that had this really infected leg, and it had gas in it. You know, he had bubbles, and that means some infection is turning to gas. I called my resident, you know, and he said, oh, you can handle that. You can handle that. So they put him in the hospital and gave him some antibiotics. I thought, don't we need to test it? He said, oh, just don't bother me. So I went and got my books out that said, gas gangrene. It's a rapidly spreading disease, diabetics and people like that. If you squeeze their leg, it feels like cellophane, one thing or another. So I called him back. So I think I have a case of gangrene. Or he said, oh, no, you're just crazy. So I went to the pharmacy and asked for gas gangrene antitoxin. He said, what? We don't give that out here. We don't use that. And I said, well, I got a guy with gas gangrene. I took the pus out and I smeared it. It looked just like it. You know, that was it. I cultured it and I called the pathology department, told him I was dealing with. Anyhow, the next day, a man named G. Tom Shires, George Thomas Shires, chief of surgery, had a meeting in the hallway. He wanted all the residents and all the interns and everybody there, and he aligned us all up. And he said, who in the hell gave the guy gas gangrene toxin last night? So I said, I did. And he said, well, tell me your story. I told him a story just like I told you. And he came over and he shook my hand. He said, you did exactly the right thing. Why did you do it? And I said, well, I read it here in this pink book. He said, we haven't used that pink book here in 10 years. He said, thank God that you did what you did. And they said, who was the resident that didn't come over and help you? He said, you better come see me in the office. So Dr. Shire says, and I want to see you too when you're free. You can come up to my office. I walked up there. He said, son, I want to give you a job as a surgery resident. Here's this God sitting there. I mean, he's a really big deal. He's offering me this job to be with him. So I'd have to tell Dr. Ray I might come back to Missouri to be a cardiologist. That's what I did. I flipped it. But I do like working with my hands, and I do like projects. So I switched and became a surgeon.
How old were you then at that point?
28, probably 28 years old.
28 years old. Yeah. So then you were resident there.
Yeah.
We're talking about the years.
1961 to 62 is when I was the first year resident. But I did that as an intern, so that was 61 when I gave the gas gangrene. Then he invited me to come over. I worked there, and I started my service. I had a second-year resident ahead of me, and all of a sudden he disappeared. It was like October. We went to Dr. Shire and said, Dr. Duke is gone. I don't know if you've ever heard of Dr. Duke. James H. Duke, he goes by Red Duke, and you ought to Google him. He is bigger than life. He disappeared, and so Dr. Shire says, well, don't you know this is a Boone and Crockett big game hunter, and he's off on the slopes of the Rockies shooting elk or something. He won't be back for 3 weeks. And I said, well, who's going to be my boss? He said, well, we'll go to fourth-year residents, and they'll help you out when you need help, but you just go out there and start working. So I started out as a first-year resident doing all sorts of surgery and bossing first-years around, and I guess I did all right because I just kept going. Duke came back, told me I did a great job. That was the second year. In the second year, you become sort of the resident that's in charge of the hospital. We had 3 trauma units and 3 general surgery, and they flipped around, A, B, and C, 1, 2, 3. But you are the guy that's there all day, 36 hours on, 12 off, managing these people, doing things and calling when you need to call, staffing, getting private practitioners out if it's a private case and stuff like that.